WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two on this very hot Tuesday. And right now we are at 71 degrees, but it is only going to keep increasing. We're going to be looking at 100 degree temperatures today, record setting temperatures. So make sure you are doing all you can to stay cool. And that might mean staying inside, enjoying the air conditioning, and listening to WBSM. Later on this hour, after the 7:30 news, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files, where we take a look at all of the pop culture things that mattered most to Generation X on this date. And we've got a pretty good one today. Got a lot of good stuff in this one. A lot of interesting little factoids that you can share with other people throughout the rest of your day. But right now, we're going to have our South Coast Health Community Spotlight. As you know, South Coast Health helps us each week turn a spotlight on some of the great local organizations around the South Coast that are just doing good work, but don't really get a lot of the spotlight, so they want to shine some of it on them. We are joined now by Dee Elliott of Elliott Farm. Good morning, Dee. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Doing all right. So tell us about Elliott Farm and the work that you do there.
Yes. So Elliott Farm is a family-owned 64-acre fruit and vegetable production farm. So we primarily grow sweet corn, tomatoes, pumpkins, melons, and we do about 70,000 pick-your-own sunflowers. We are complemented by a farm store that's located on Route 105. We're open May through November, 7 days a week from 10 to 6. And we partner with our sister nonprofit, Farm and Community Collaborative, also known as FNCC. And we work in collaboration with FNCC to offer food security programs to underserved and food insecure families across southeastern Mass.
So we're going to get into some of that, but before we do, I just got to say, anytime I'm going down 105 in Lakeville and I see that you're out there, I have to stop and get the sweet corn, some of the best sweet corn you'll ever have in your life. As my father-in-law used to say, my ex-father-in-law used to say, this corn don't need no butter.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're used to eating it raw because we taste it in the field before we harvest every
really?
Morning. So that's how I eat my sweet corn, although after working on the farm since I was 8 years old, I'm a little put off sweet corn at this point.
How do you eat it raw? You can just open it up and bite right into it?
You just peel it and eat it. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, it's quite good.
So food insecurity is a big issue. We'd like to think that here in the United States that we don't have people that are going without, but unfortunately, we have a lot of people who don't know where their next meal is coming from.
That's so true. And you wouldn't think it's a tremendous need in southeastern Mass, but it really is, especially in more urban communities like New Bedford and Taunton and Fall River. Some folks who are struggling with food security, they frequent food banks, which primarily don't offer farm fresh produce. So the programs that FNCC puts on in collaboration with Elliott Farm allows those families to have fresh, nutritious food.
And well, that's the thing, nutritious food. So even though they might not have trouble getting a meal, it's not the best thing for them. You know, I mean, we used to say, you know, they're eating every night off the dollar menu. We know the dollar menu doesn't exist anymore, but that's what they have access to. Fast food, processed foods, not the things that are natural and healthy and that will put them on the right track for proper health.
Exactly. And that's really why Farm and Community Collaborative was founded. We run a few simple programs. Farm to Food Bank brings farm fresh produce to local area food banks. And then we have Farm to Family, which is a community shared agriculture, CSA for short, program that offers free farm shares to low income families living below 50% AMI. So this is not a traditional CSA program where families receive a box of produce. It's actually a free choice program where families will come to Elliott Farm and select the produce and groceries that they want. So it's a little bit of a different style program, but it actually is bringing these families to the farm, many of which who have not visited a farm before. And it's giving them the autonomy to choose the food that their family enjoys.
And I think you feel differently about trying these foods and having these foods on your plate when you see how they're grown and you meet the people that grow them, as opposed to just something you would buy at the supermarket and then throw into a pot. I mean, you get to see that not only is the family an active part of the community, but you get to see how it all works. And I think that gives people an appreciation for the food more than just being able to go and get it at a store.
Exactly. I think it deepens their relationship with the food system, seeing where the food is grown. We have lots of pick your own activities, from pick your own sunflowers to pick your own pumpkins in the fall. So they get to interact with the land, interact with the growing process and the farmers at Elliott Farm. So it's a really unique experience. It's more than just a food security program that provides food to families who are food insecure.
From the farm perspective, I mean, how do you go from being a family farm for generations that are growing these vegetables and selling them, you know, roadside, to start getting involved with these programs?
So I've been working on the farm since I was 8. This is a second generation farm. So my dad was the founder of the farm. My brother and I took over in 2014. I did not imagine taking over the farm when I was little. I actually went to school for nonprofit leadership, and in my former life, worked in the nonprofit sector in arts education. So when my brother and I took over as leaders of Elliott Farm, I sort of merged my skill sets in sustainable agriculture and my nonprofit background, and saw a real need in our community for food security programs. And that's how FNCC came to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's sad that we're in that position that people need it, but it's also great that they can have local places like this and local people who are giving back. And so how do people get involved if they want to be part of the CSA, if they want to be able to take advantage of this?
Yes. So we're just releasing the application for families this week, and they can visit Elliott Farm's Facebook page. So facebook.com/Elliott Farm. And it is a lottery program. So we receive many applications from families in need. And unfortunately, we can't support all of them just due to funding constraints. But our goal is to support 150 families this season. We supported 99 families last year. So we are always trying to grow the programs a little bit year over year. So folks can visit our social media pages, where there is a link to a short application to be considered for the program.
And then, of course, people who just want to come and support the work that you do can always come by and shop there as well.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, the farm store in Lakeville on Route 105 is open daily from 10 to 6, May through November. So I would encourage anyone to come check out the farm stand. We have lots of homegrown produce. We also partner with other local growers and producers. So we offer local dairy, ice cream, cheese, local meats, local seafood, local baked goods. So it's really a one-stop shop for local artisan groceries. And each fall, we put on a special event, our annual Harvest Festival, which this year will be October 12th. It's a Sunday from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it's a fun, family-friendly event where folks can come and frequent the farm stand or do pick your own activities. We have live music and lots of artisan vendors, and everything we raise from that day goes to support Farm and Community Collaborative's food security programs. So it's a great event to support what we do for the community. And last year we had 1,700 guests.
Wow.
So it's grown quite a bit over the last few years, and we get really good feedback from participants. And so it's just it's a great thing to do with your family and also give back to the community.
And I always say, too, the farm feels like a little bit of a time warp as you're driving down 105, because it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, I feel like I'm, you know, what this area must have looked like, you know, back in the day, because it really does have that family farm feel, even just driving by it. If people want to find out more, if they want to get the applications, how can they find out more about the farm?
To find out more about the farm, folks can follow us on social media. So it's at Elliott Farm or at Farm Community Collaborative, or visit our websites, elliottfarm.org or farmcommunitycollaborative.org.
Well, I want to thank you, Dee, for joining us and for all the work that you do to help make sure that people are fed the proper food. And I look forward to stopping by and trying some of that corn in the raw.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, again, thank you to South Coast Health for helping us shine that community spotlight on great organizations like Elliott Farm. And if you want to find out more, we put a bunch of links up on the WBSM Facebook page during that discussion, so you can read those and click on those and get more information through those methods. So, and by the way, I had no idea. Corn, not only can you eat it raw, but I recently learned, too, that you can cook it in the microwave in the husk. I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that. I'll never forget when I found out you can cook a potato in the microwave. I always wondered because, you know, when I was younger, one of our early microwaves when I was a kid had these buttons on it that would say, like, you know, potato, eggs. Like, you could press those buttons. And I was like, hey, like, what do they mean by potato? You can't cook a baked potato in a microwave, but I've learned that you can. I was buying those ones that come wrapped in plastic at the store for like $1.50 each, and you could put them in the microwave. And my friend told me, no, don't do that. Just buy a bag of potatoes and then take a potato and put a bunch of holes in it with a fork and cook it in the microwave for 6 or 7 minutes. And I had no idea. So I don't really eat that many potatoes, but it's good to have that. But I eat a lot of corn on the cob. I love corn on the cob. So the next time I cook some, I'm going to try cooking it right in the husk in the microwave. It's just, you got to be careful and you got to let it cool down before you try to pull the husk off. But if I can do it successfully, maybe I'll put up a little article with some step-by-step instructions for you to try in case maybe you already know. Maybe I'm the last person to the microwave corn party. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't be the first time. But what I end up doing is, you know, I'm lazy, so I don't always go to the store and get the corn that you got to, you know, peel yourself. Some stores let you peel it in the store. Other stores don't want you to peel it in the store. So what I usually do is I buy, they'll have like a 4-pack of ones that have already been pretty much peeled, and they wrap it in plastic. And I'll bring those home and I'll put all 4 into the pan and cook them. And then I'll end up eating all 4. I love it. I don't put butter on it or anything. I just eat it straight as is. But now I'm going to have to try it raw. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. Maybe raw from the store is different than, you know, raw right off the stalk in the cornfield. But I will, I'll report back and let you know how it goes. And so will my dentist. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Also, some news for you. The water taxi is back in Fall River. If you are not familiar with that, they had it last year. I think last year was the first year, or maybe it was the year before. But the idea is that this is, you know, a water taxi that brings you from location to location down in the area of Battleship Cove and Tipsy Seagull and all of that. So and it's just a couple of bucks to take it. And I think what people like about it is just the novelty of it. It's not just getting from one place to the other. It's the fact that you are getting to be on the water a little bit and enjoy, especially on a day like today, where it's going to be a steamy day, you know, that gives people a reason to get out there on the water, even if they're not somebody that would normally swim. So if you want to find out more about that, you can check out WBSM.com and the WBSM app, all about the Fall River Water Taxi. I have not ridden, I have not taken a ride yet on the Fall River Water Taxi. I'm going to have to do that this year. There's a lot of places down there I haven't even been. Can you believe I've never been to Battleship Cove all the years I've lived around here? So it's on my list of things to do this summer is to go and take the full tour. But I just got to, you know, find the time. And when I do have the time, not be lazy and get up and go. There's a lot of things that I want to do. And every summer I say, okay, I'm going to check a bunch of things off the list this year. And then I don't, you know. you get a day like today. Well, maybe not like today. Not a lot of days are as hot as today, but you know, you get a warm and muggy day, and I'm like, I'm just gonna stay home. But there's a lot of things I should get out there and do. And we write about enough of them, right? We bring you stories about all these great things to do and places to visit. If you haven't been reading the Travel Tuesday articles by Nancy Hall on the website, especially on fun107.com, we usually have them on BSM too, but she writes one every week for fun107.com where she looks at some of the really cool places that aren't that far away and where you could probably get to in an hour or two and then be able to spend a day and not have a long ride home afterwards. And I don't know why I don't leave the house. Probably because I'm so tired. But today she's got one coming up for you about a cool place on the Cape that you can visit. So that'll be up a little bit later on today. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Julie Sackfield.
How you doing?
Good. You know, yesterday when I called and I got ambushed by President Bergel, you know, he didn't like the way I said dog catcher. Meant no disrespect when I said dog catcher. You got to realize I'm 74 years old. And 40 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, that's what they were called, dog catcher.
Sure.
Okay, so now they have different titles for, you know, like Brian Gomes works as a security guard for the Bank of America. And he tells everybody he's a building manager where he collects the checks and he's the one that puts out the offices. You know, but everybody knows he's a security guard. So everybody has different names for things. So I didn't mean about disrespecting Manny. I didn't, really, you know. But to have him attack me like the way he did, by using the word, I should have used lease law director. Okay? Now, the thing that really gets me is when he talks about disrespecting people, you know, I'm a Joe Smo. I don't know when he's an elected official. Okay? So when he attacked his colleagues on the air, like he did with a Councilor Oliver, when he said he needs tutoring. So he's going to take it one day, he's weaning and tutor him. That's taking a shot at another colleague. No wonder there's dissension on that city council.
Well, I mean, the way that the council president was saying it yesterday, there is no tension on the council.
Well, there isn't, huh?
I'm just telling you what he was saying.
I know. You believe everything he says? Sometimes it's just Kista that's talking because his mouth knows better.
I think they're all capable of getting along. I'll say that.
Okay, yeah, they should be getting along. Okay, but I'll give you a perfect example. They had a meeting last night. They lasted until about 1:30 in the morning. Okay, he even took a shot at Linda Morat. Okay, and Linda put him in his place. So. Everybody, don't tell me that they're trying to do the best for the city, for the people of New Bedford. They're not. You know, and taking a shot at he needs tutoring and he's going to tutor him? It's amazing how he forgets what he says. You know, when it comes to like Bergo, the president of the city council, and Councilor Oliver, Bergo, the president of the city council, okay, cannot hold Councilor Oliver's jockey strap, okay? He knows more about the system than the president does. So I don't know why he came down at me because I use the word. That's the way I give a perfect example.
Well, I think he thought you were intentionally disrespecting Manny I wouldn't say Manny. I think he thought you were in disrespecting the position to say that, you know, it's overpaid for being a dog catcher. I think that's what he thought you were trying to say.
I was trying to bring a point across how Linda Morad, and if you remember the incident, everybody, you know, got raises. Okay? Now Linda can do it, why can't he just bring it up? That's all I ask, to bring up about. Then he says, oh, they have to do it and all this. You know, that's the part that really gets me. And he was late for the meeting last night. He didn't show up on time. Even one of his counselors even said, he said, well, if you would have known it if you were here on time. You know, the funny part about it is, Tim, I wasn't there. How do I know all about this? You don't think people call me?
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'm not trying to correct you, but just to give you, like, just to express how even longer it was, Counselor Choquette said that they got out at 2:34 in the morning. So it was even later than 1:30 in the morning.
Well, I'm just using,
Right. You're just kind of guesstimating, yeah. But no, he had a Facebook post. 2:34 in the morning they got out.
Can you imagine him taking a shot at Linda? I mean, she takes a shot at a lot of people, no doubt about that. But taking a shot at her, and she came right back at him. Ain't he said it loud enough? He's trying to embarrass people. How many times have you seen people, take 30 and people calling in and talking bad about him? You know what I mean? That's the part about the city council. They don't understand that the people out there deserve better representation.
All right, I'm going to hold you there because I got to take a break. But
yeah, no, I just want to say that it's because of my age, and that's what was called back then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I meant no disrespect to anybody, but to bring out a point. Okay? So that's the thing. I mean, please have the mayor, if you can have Chris, ask the mayor about getting paid. And I don't think that the school committee has to make, ask for it. They can do it themselves. Because you have to go in front of the city council.
All right,
they can do that. Linda did it. So
I'll let him know.
I just want to say something. Okay, thank you. But I would have just correct that with Burgo. He thinks he's I don't know what he thinks he is.
All right. Well,
thank you very much
leave it
for
there.
Letting me voice my opinion.
You have a good day. You stay cool today.
Oh, I plan to.
All right.
Take it easy. You too, Tim.
All right. Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get the news from Mike, and then we'll have the Gen X Files coming your way.
Flight turbulence results in 5 injuries in North Carolina. Oil and gasoline prices on the rise, and new research on naps.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A private company is creating the largest ICE detention center in California. CoreCivic will convert a 2,500-bed facility in California City to the state's largest migrant detention center. The agreement with ICE is part of a federal effort to expand detention capacity. California Governor Newsom previously tried to block private prisons from housing ICE detainees, but a federal court ruled he cannot prevent private firms from assisting immigration enforcement. The Supreme Court is allowing the Trump administration to deport convicted criminals to so-called third countries, even if they have no connection to that nation. It puts a hold on federal judges' ruling that said those being deported should have a chance to bring claims that they would be at risk of persecution or death if sent to other countries. All 3 liberal judges on the court dissented. American Airlines investigating after 5 people hospitalized following turbulence on a flight. 3 flight attendants, 2 passengers on flight 1286 from Miami to Raleigh-Durham were taken to the hospital after landing on Sunday night. The airline said the fasten seatbelt sign was on when the turbulence hit, indicating that passengers and crew should have been securely fastened, but some passengers say the sign was not illuminated and have pointed to weather conditions as another cause of the incident. The oil market reacting after U.S. strikes in Iran. They were on the rise and now are said to start dropping after what's being labeled as Iran's restrained retaliation against the U.S. With the oil price dip, stocks responded with a 200-point jump in the Dow's industrial average. Investors warn any more aggression from Iran, Israel, or the U.S. could spook the markets again. Military analysts say Iran's attack against the U.S. air base in Qatar may be just an effort to save face with its people. Meanwhile, gasoline prices in the state have jumped almost 9 cents in the last week. Today, June 24th, marks 4 years since the collapse of the Champlain Tower South that killed 98 people in Surfside, Florida. The National Institute of Standards and Technology has released some findings into its $30 million investigation. Investigator Glenn Bell says that there were many factors that contributed to the crash.
All of these factors combined to cause critically low margins of safety at the time of failure. But it's important to note that the first two, design understrength and misplaced reinforcement, caused the bulk of the critically low margins.
There are many known benefits of napping, including increased energy and creativity, but a new report suggests they can also increase your risk of death.
A major study out of Harvard Medical School and Mass General Hospital has found that when you nap and how you nap are major factors. 15 to 30 minute power naps are ideal, but sleeping longer than that is linked to a higher risk of mortality. Researchers say long naps can reflect underlying conditions like depression or early degenerative changes, especially as we age. Long nappers also tend to have higher blood pressure and body mass index, which can lead to obesity, diabetes and heart disease. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
WBSM Sports.
Angels beat the Red Sox last night 9-5 in Los Angeles. Those two teams back at it tonight at 9:38.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Another absolute scorcher of a day, even more so than what we saw on Monday, considering temperatures start in the 70s. But by the afternoon, even the coast, no relief at the beach. We're going to see coastal temperatures in the low 90s. And then as you head inland, we're looking at temperatures in northern Bristol County in the mid and upper 90s, even triple digits. And by the way, it's going to feel like we're in the triple digits across the board today because of the humidity and the sun angle. So make sure you're spending time in the AC where it's a lot cooler and a little bit easier on your body. Now, as we move into tonight, we still stay pretty toasty with temperatures in the mid and upper 70s and another warm day on Wednesday. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, welcome back in. We're going to be taking some phone calls coming up at 508-996-0500. But right now it is time for, it is, the Gen X Files, right?
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. Let's start off with our celebrity birthdays. Fleetwood Mac founder Mick Fleetwood and RoboCop star Peter Weller were both born on this day 78 years ago. Speaking of RoboCop, Weller's co-star Nancy Allen is also celebrating a birthday today. She's 75. Mindy Kaling of The Office and The Mindy Project is 46. Minka Kelly, best known as Lila Garrity on Friday Night Lights, is 45. And soccer superstar Lionel Messi is 38 years old today. Also born on this date in 1901, American basketball player and sneaker salesman Chuck Taylor. Although he died in 1969, many of you may be wearing a pair of his All-Stars right now. June 24th is also a big day in UFO history. On this date in 1947, pilot Kenneth Arnold reported seeing the Mount Rainier UFO. A year later on the same day, veteran pilots Clarence Childs and Charles Whitted in Alabama saw a cigar-shaped vehicle with windows flying beside them. Then in 1997, the U.S. Air Force officials released a 231-page report dismissing all of the claims of an alien spacecraft crash in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. Easy for you to say, Tim. And some TV milestones in 1949. I'm sorry. If you're not familiar with that, you're going to learn about it in just a second. I don't mean to step on it. I know some of you haven't heard this in forever. Okay. Now some TV milestones. In 1949, the first television western, Hopalong Cassidy, aired on NBC starring William Boyd And in 1957, this song, Jack Parr, became the host of The Tonight Show on NBC. After 4 years, he would step away and eventually giving way to Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, a brief stint for Conan O'Brien, Leno again, and now Jimmy Fallon. On this date in 1982, Jeffrey Daniel of Shalimar did the moonwalk on the British TV show Top of the Pops, getting the attention of Michael Jackson, who popularized it in America about a year later. On the 24th of June, 1990, New Kids on the Block's Donnie Wahlberg spent 2 days in the hospital after falling through an unlocked trapdoor mid-concert in Saratoga Springs, New York. And this might be the only time you ever get to hear Insane Clown Posse on WBSM. In 1997, hours after shipping 100,000 copies of the Insane Clown Posse album, The Great Malenko, the group's label, Hollywood Records, which is a subsidiary of Disney, recalled the shipments over concerns about the, quote, inappropriate lyrics. I'm all alone. This date, June 24th, 2000, Enrique Iglesias topped the U.S. pop charts with Be With You. And, of course, that's one of his many hits. I'm more partial to Balamos myself. And speaking of monster hits that are related to this day, here's one of the biggest of all time. On this date in 2003, Beyoncé released her first solo album, Dangerously in Love. Of course, this standout track, Crazy in Love, features her then-boyfriend and now-husband Jay-Z and was everywhere in the summer of 2003. That's the Gen X Files for June 24th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where this week's flavors include frozen pudding, bubblegum, and cherry sorbet. See, there you go. We not only are we setting records today and making history with the temperature, we played Insane Clown Posse on WBSM. And I don't know if people are, you know, as familiar with ICP now as they were then. They were all over the news in those days. Like, it was the end of the world, this hip-hop group. And it turns out they're just a couple of clowns, literally. One of my favorite things, now I'm not a juggalo, so don't get it twisted, as they say. I am not a juggalo, but my brother was growing up, and I went to see ICP with him one time. I lasted about 10 minutes before the girl behind us passed out and got trampled, and I picked her up and pulled her to the back of the room, and then they wouldn't let me. I got her outside for fresh air, and then they wouldn't let me back in. So my 16-year-old brother is stuck inside an ICP concert all alone while I'm stuck outside. But so I didn't get to see the whole show. But I got it. I enjoyed it back when it came out, but I wasn't all about it. And they did have a TV show a few years ago, actually probably about a decade ago now, called, what was it, Insane Clown Posse Theater or something like that. And it was just them cracking on things on a big screen in a theater, like Beavis and Butthead style. And they had a butler played by Greg the Hammer Valentine. I shouldn't say played by. Greg the Hammer Valentine was their butler. So it was just insane. And they had celebrity guests. Gilbert Gottfried was on an episode. It was just the funniest thing. If you can catch it online, you can probably find episodes of it. Insane Clown Posse Theater. Highly recommend it. All right. 508-996-0500. And if you want to call in and chime in about some of the things we've been talking about, you can also send an app chat message. I got an app chat message from Jim regarding the microwave corn on the cob, just warning me to make sure that I have gloves on when I take the husk off. I was watching some videos of it, And everybody had, you know, oven mitts on, you know, protecting themselves and letting it cool quite a bit first. So I think you got to let it cool just as long as you cook it for. And I don't know. I'm kind of excited to try it, see how it comes out. But I'm also, you know, just excited to have sweet corn, period. Maybe I'll get some tonight. It's a good night to cook dinner in the microwave because I don't want to turn that stove on. All right, we're going to take a break. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails, and the WBSM app. We will be right back. Deep inside, the pressure's high. And the heat is on out there. It's only 72 now, but the heat will be building up over the course of the day. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, hey, Jim. David. Hey, you know, there's a big contest, apparently, to see who, or, you know, Trump is starting World War III, and it's a distraction. So what is it a distraction from? Now, some people say it's the big, beautiful bill, that that's the real reason why he's changing the subject. I wonder about some of these Supreme Court rulings, though. Like, there was this one that said that Elon gets to keep our Social Security numbers. And then there was a second ruling the same day that said that the Freedom of Information Act can't be used to let us know how he's using our data. So he gets to keep the Social Security numbers, and we, the people, can't find out how he's using our Social Security numbers. So which one do you think is a bigger distraction?
Listen, I never liked the idea that they had access to that information. I didn't think that the people who were part of it were vetted enough. And I thought, you know, and what did we hear? Well, you know, don't worry. What are they going to do? What does Elon Musk want with your Social Security number? He's got more money than all of us combined. Yeah, but that's not the point. The, you know, I'm told to cover my PIN number when I go to the gas station to use my debit card. Why do I want some, you know, 20-year-old kid working for Elon Musk to have access to my Social Security number?
No joke. And then what makes it worse is that they, just 2 days ago, the biggest hacking in the history of the world happened, and it involves, you might have more knowledge of what happened with that hacking. I heard it in the news, but that all of the like Facebook passwords and all of the purchase accounts that people had been using under X and Twitter and all these others were snagged. And so that's only a month or so after Elon gets to harvest our data. And then all of a sudden the big capture again. Something smells funny, and I think it's Elon.
Well, could very well be.
Yeah, we'll find out. But, I've talked in the past about back in 1776, they had to change out the money. We didn't want to use the British pound, and we came up with a continental, and then the British started counterfeiting the continental. Well, now Donald Trump is trying to take America's value and shove it into Bitcoin or shove it into cyber currency and Melania money. And, you know, we got to change out the money. They can't, their money's no good here. And, you know, they're using the funny money at this point. So we, the people, have got to come up with another value.
All right. I got to hold you there. I got one more break I got to get in. Thank you for the call.
Take care.
All right. We got to get this break in. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned. It'll definitely be hot in the city tonight. It's actually going to be hot in the city today, too. So make sure that you keep yourself cool. Try to stay in air conditioning as long as you can. If you don't have air conditioning, go find a place that does. The libraries are going to be open late. The beaches are going to have lifeguards until 7 p.m. in New Bedford. So go to the mall, go to a store, whatever you got to do to stay cool, because it's going to be dangerously hot today. And not only that, but make sure you stay hydrated, too. It's not just about keeping cool. It's about keeping hydrated, because you're gonna sweat a lot, even if you're in air conditioning, just getting to it. So just make sure that you stay hydrated. Keep drinking water. You know, put down the coffee. Put down whatever you got at Stevie's. You can save that for when it's a little bit cooler, and just make sure you keep drinking water. I've got my big thing that tells me how much water I should